Ho, let's go.
Hey, last minute. Oh, that's later. All
right,
sorry.
So she started conditioning back. Yeah, that's right. No, I'm using that a lot.
Okay. Sorry about that.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyor of fine games, and Bezier Games, the new classics. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
And today we are talking about seven games coming to Kickstarter the week of February 26th, 2017.
Or 18.
Whoa.
That year,
wow.
Too. It's a good year.
I like the 17, but...
Before we get into talking about those, though, I think we need to just right up front tell you, go to our Kickstarter page right now.
Yes.
This is your last chance.
Last chance.
Today is the last day of our Kickstarter campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Monday the 26th.
Yep.
We're sitting at a pretty happy number right now. I'm pretty pumped by how well we've been supported.
We could do more because of a couple things.
We could?
Yes.
Are you going to tell us about those?
Well, we were trying to reach stretch goals, and
yes,
the big one is next year's Tantrum Con.
That would be amazing if
we could reach, I think it's the $10,000
yes,
goal.
Yes, I think so.
We will... put a down a deposit on a hotel to actually
have a convention center for next year.
Yes, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and anybody who backs us will get a discount on those tickets for next year.
50% off.
Help us get there this year and get the discount.
So, you know, 50% off $100, that's like $50.
Whew, what a good deal that's going to be. And no one's coming to our
convention. That's an expensive convention.
Will you pay for?
Good point. I like that. I gotta admit that one of the things that I've enjoyed the most, like this is the coolest thing to me, is we have a lot of really cool bundles that cost a lot of money, and we got a lot of cool promos.
Yeah.
And when people get on and they buy, you know, a $10 bundle or even a $100 game, like that's pretty awesome. I'm excited about that. But they're getting a really cool piece out of it.
Right.
Like I think honestly the ones that like are the coolest to me are the people who like back us for zero reward. Some of them for $5, some of them for like 50, and they just do it to support us.
That's awesome.
I think that's one of the most awesome things about this whole thing, is like seeing all the people that enjoy the content we're putting out.
Yep.
It's not even about what cool backing reward they get. It's
aww,
just,
I know. That's so sweet.
That's what I'm saying. Cool, cool. Well, let's shout out more to that. Go check out our Kickstarter for series.
Yep.
We would love your
and make
support.
Sure you go to Tantrum House Season 5, because I had someone look at it and say, oh, you're already over, and they were looking at Season 4.
No.
So, yeah, Season 5 still going live till the 26th.
I wonder if there's a way to hide that, but alas.
They must bump off,
you know,
after a certain amount of time, because our previous Kickstarters aren't there. Like,
they're still on the
list. All of them?
Yeah, they're on there. So what we can do is just change our company name each year,
ooh,
and then we'll be good to go.
That sounds like a fantastic idea.
We should just have a code name for each season.
Ooh.
Like, this season can be Season Awesome or something.
Okay.
They still have to find Tantrum House, though. I don't know.
We'll just keep referring to it as the code name.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good plan.
Like,
we'll work that out. Ooh, I like that.
We'll do that sometime.
Tickled my fancy with that.
So what have you been doing?
All kinds of stuff. We had a game night tonight.
Yep.
We played through another round of Charterstone.
Yep. Number 10.
We're getting close.
Yep.
It was Katie's least favorite.
Well, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but they kind of like built up this big mechanic throughout the whole game, like as you unlock things and stuff, and then they like took it away.
Disappeared.
And we were like, I mean, it was like tooth and nail trying to just scratch out a living this round. I mean, it was hard.
It was weird because
I felt so poor the whole time.
Maybe,
I have nothing to get points
for. I'm sure Jamie's listening to you. You're whining.
That's right. I thought it was going to go really fast, and then it actually kind of drug out a little bit.
It did.
It was interesting. It's kind of the first time that I felt like that, which is for 9 awesome rounds.
That's because Kevin wasn't getting rid of his influence.
And Kevin won. Way to
I
go.
Did.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Is that your what?
Second.
I
know
victory.
You still have one above me.
It's been cool. So two more to go.
And
then what are we going to do? Are we going to like just post-Albuquerque pictures we've taken?
Sure, or we can do that.
We should do something.
We've been doing some 360 photos that we haven't shared with anybody yet, right?
Yeah, we're holding off those spoilers so we can spoil it all at one time. Well, get all 10.
Kevin was talking about getting the recharge pack and then potentially doing it with another group.
That's cool.
And Ryan said he'd be okay if he wasn't a part of that group.
I have been enjoying the game. I feel like I'm being frustrated at every turn. Yeah. Like, I feel like I should be able to get some sort of synergy with what I'm playing, and just it's not happening for me.
It's the deck.
I love that we're talking about this so spoiler-free and no one knows what we're talking about.
Yeah. I won the first game, you're like, yeah, yeah. Struggled ever since.
Let's just say, though, two games before this were super fast.
They were.
Or was it last game?
Last?
I think it was last game. I think it was number 9.
Yeah.
Was like our fastest game ever, and you probably know why.
If they played, yes, you know.
Speedy. Cool. All right, well, let's take a moment to give a shout out to our sponsors.
This season is now sponsored by Game Toppers LLC. They make modular gaming tops to turn your existing table into a premium gaming surface.
Yeah, pretty cool. We had Berkey on the show with us last week for an interview and had a really great conversation with him afterwards, and they decided to jump on as some sponsors for our show. So we're pumped. We're super pumped. Tell us about some of the things that might be coming with that sponsorship, Kevin.
Yes. So we had him on the show, and he is graciously providing some game toppers for our show. So you actually see some of that in our production that we produce.
Videos.
And we'll talk about it on the podcast, but you'll be able to see it on our YouTube channel.
That's right.
So Tantrum House Games YouTube channel. And
in case you missed the last episode, what exactly are we talking about? What is a table topper?
Oh, what is a table topper? It is basically a piece of furniture that you're actually putting on top of your table that it looks like those geek chic tables.
Yeah, super high quality.
Super high quality tables, but it's basically something that goes on top of your existing table.
So you can turn your dining room table into a real board game table with all the meeple holders and dice towers and all the cool stuff.
Lots of different add-ons you can customize it to fit your needs.
And the thing that I'm actually most excited about is that there's like a carrying case with it, so we can bring this to our game nights, set it up on top of whatever the table is at the place that we're hanging out at.
So we're getting a bigger one. We're getting a bigger one that can actually be split into two.
Yeah,
with these different rail systems that he's created, which is kind of really cool, just the engineering behind it. So
yeah, I know he's done a lot of work. The first time we interviewed him, I don't know what number that was, but go back to that episode. And he talks about all the manufacturing processes and the engineering that went into it. Pretty slick stuff. So
Hopefully this summer, once we get that, once it's shipped to us and get that on our show, you'll see some of this different studios have the game toppers, and we'll talk more about it on our videos.
Yeah, and we can show off the good stuff.
Yeah. And we also want to make sure that we shout out to Final Frontier Games. Their Kickstarter is currently on with Robin Hood and the Merry. Actually, it's about to launch.
Launch? Not quite yet.
Launched. Yeah, yes. Time travel. It's launching on this week, which is last week. Anyway, if you're listening to this, it's live. Robin Hood and the Merry Men.
Did we figure that out?
It's live. It's live. Robin Hood and the Merry Men from Final Frontier Games. It's awesome. We did a playthrough video for it. We did a review video for it. We have lots of fun. Lots of fun. So check that out too. Back them, support them. They've been great. So
cool. Well, so to be honest, we had some technical difficulties, and we're going to play an interview that we shot last week with John Covey from Genius Games. If the dates sound weird, this is a week old, but really cool stuff. You need to check out their board game that's on Kickstarter right now.
That is Subatomic.
And it's science-based with cool game mechanics and stuff. So listen in as we'll welcome him to the house.
Hey! Hey there. Thanks for having me on. I'm really excited.
Yeah, man, we are pumped. We've gotten to hang out with you a bunch of times in the past. We love the work that you're doing. You've got a Kickstarter going on right now. Into that, though, just tell us how you're doing. What have you been up to? What kind of exciting stuff are you working on besides the Kickstarter? Because obviously that's exciting.
I'm up to a lot of really fun things. So we are working on a plant biology game. I'm pretty excited about that. We are working on a game about Mendelian genetics, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Nice.
You're working inside of a Punnett square. It's going to be kind of like high school genetics meets Camel Cup or Camel Up, however you say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got me a Camel Up. Keep going.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that. We are working on a game about nucleosynthesis, or how stars fuse essentially smaller elements to form bigger elements.
You're blowing my mind on pretty much all of these.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So for those in your audience who don't know what I do, I create science-themed games, but all the science is really accurate, so accurate that we have a lot of scientists and science teachers have adopted our games for use in the classroom. Obviously, we've got lots of gamers who just geek out on the science as well, but we try and really make the science accurate, and that's sort of our niche, what we're known for.
But and on top of that is just making good games too. I think that's really key. I've played plenty of educational games in the past that were highly educational and not so highly on the fun and strategy side. And one of the things I've enjoyed about a lot of you guys' games is just that they're very enjoyable to play. I actually learn things while I'm playing them, but I don't realize it. I'm actually having a good time the whole time.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I teach game design at a university here in St. Louis, and so I could not get away with a game that does not have solid mechanics. I would be in big trouble in a lot of ways. So,
yeah, you would. All right, so you do have one on Kickstarter right now. Tell us
a
little bit about that.
And I believe it's already funded.
Yeah, congratulations.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we funded in just a few hours, actually. We needed $12,500, and we hit it in 3 or 4 hours, somewhere around there. I was actually just waking up when we hit it. We launched it pretty early in the morning.
That's cool.
It's a good feeling. Yeah, it is. It is a very good feeling indeed. So it's called Subatomic, an atom-building game. And as you can imagine, an atom-building game, it is a game about building atoms. So each player starts off with a deck of quarks, up quarks and down quarks, and also particle wave duality cards. You're using these to form subatomic particles, protons, neutrons, and electrons. And then with those, you're either building up your atom to claim an element and score points, or to buy these larger deck building cards, which are like larger subatomic particles and things like that. And those go into your deck and they build up the power of your deck so you can score more points later on in the game even faster, right? So your typical deck building, where there's that tension between building your deck and scoring points. There's also an in-game scoring mechanic, which is like a light area majority, where once you score an element or claim an element, you also get to place markers in an area majority on any other element besides the one that you claimed. So you're forced to sort of diversify across a number of different elements to try and build some to claim others for the end of the game, but then go back and try and build those later in the game. Cool. So it's a really fun game. I think we're right at like $85,000 or $86,000 we've raised so far in the first week, and we still got 3 more weeks to go.
That's cool. That's a good feeling. That's exciting. Tell us a little bit about what your strategy is for game development, because I know you guys have used a number of different mechanics. Do you kind of find a mechanic that you like and then find a theme that works with it? Or do you find, like, what's your kind of process? What are these next couple games that you're looking at?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it starts to really get into some of my principles that I teach in my game design class. So I never start with a mechanic first. Well, I don't say never. Okay. I've maybe done that just once or twice. Okay. Most of
Forgive
all the... Thank you. Most of all the work that I do, I start with a science concept in mind that I really want to create a game around. Usually that science concept is either something really hot in the news or something really core and fundamental to the sciences that I want people to know more about.
Awesome.
And then what I do is I take that science concept and I ask myself, what are the most fundamental concepts? What are the most fundamental principles, the core elements of this idea that you must come away with if you're to really understand it, if you're really to grasp it? And then with just those few, so simplify it down, boil it down. With that simplified version, I now try and create a mechanism or components or resources or something out of that. So as an example, you all have played Cytosis, I think.
Yes, we have.
Cytosis is a cell biology game. It's a game that takes place inside the human cell. I first thought, okay, what do people need to know about the human cell if we're going to make a game about it? The most important is that the cell is a sort of conglomerate. it is a worker placement. That is,
Oh, I'm spoiling it. Sorry.
No, that's good. A cell is a conglomerate of little machines that come together and they all function in cohesion to to keep the cell alive, right? So each of those little machines we've created as its own section of the game, of the board. And now as it's a worker placement game, so you're placing in each of those little areas, and those areas in science are organelles. And organelles give you resources, and in a cell, your main resources are proteins, fats, carbohydrates, and mRNA, genetic material. And so that's basically it, worker placement, placing in organelles, collecting resources. Now, there's a lot more to it than just that.
It seems so simple, yeah. Yeah, but yeah. It's great that you can boil it down to that. That's really, really cool. Very awesome.
Yeah.
We actually just interviewed earlier on the show Kevin Berkey from Game Toppers. He said that you guys were going to be – had some stuff going on in just a couple months or something. Tell us a little teeny bit about that.
Yeah, so for those of in your audience that don't know much about the progress we've made in my company, so – we used to work out of a co-working space. We have since moved out of that co-working space, and we now have our own warehouse and fulfillment center and an office space that we share with Gray Fox Games. So Gray Fox Games is known for Champions of Midgard and Deception and a number of others. But those are probably their two biggest titles. Mm-hmm. And we are sharing this facility. And in the front, we have an open gaming area that's about 1,000 square foot. And we are going to be we can house maybe 45 to 60 people on a given night there, wow. And so yeah, we're hoping to have some really nice gaming tables for the public to come in, and we can play test games with them, and so yeah, that's how that all comes together.
Awesome. So is that going to be like is it a storefront? Is it a game cafe? Like, is it just a cool hangout location?
Yeah, you know, it's sort of all coming together rather organically.
Okay.
It is going to be like an open gaming area where people can just come in and play. We will have a small library. We will sell a few games, so we'll sell our games there. Mm-hmm. And then if we might try and get a small retail area, but just ones that the people who are regularly coming in really want, so we can offer them at a discounted rate, that kind of thing. We're not going to have a huge inventory because we just don't have a lot of money to take on a huge inventory. But yeah, the main thing for us is we get to tap into all these gamers as our playtesters.
That's real cool.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they love it as well, because being able to play those prototypes is some of the most fun stuff in the industry. That's what we enjoy doing a lot of. And that's really cool. Tell us about some of the conventions that we might be able to run into you at this year.
Yes, this year we will be at Gamma. I'm not sure if many people outside the business side will be at Gamma. We'll be at Origins, we'll be at Gen Con, and we'll be at PAX Unplugged. I'm thinking, so we'll also be at a few different science conventions. We're going to go to Astra.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we might even be at a couple homeschool conventions. We'll see. We did pretty well here at the St. Louis Greater Homeschool Convention of St. Louis. We have a large homeschool crowd that uses our games. We'll be at a number of conventions across the U.S.
Well, very cool. Tell us where people can get, so your game is on Kickstarter. Tell us, recap that one more time, and then tell us where else they can find all your stuff.
Yeah, so you can find our games right now on Kickstarter. There's one called Subatomic, Subatomic, Subatomic and Atom Building Game. You can also find the rest of our games at geniusgames.org. Or we have an Amazon page. You can find most of our games on Amazon. We do distribute through all the major hobby distributors, Alliance, ACD, Southern, GTS. So your friendly local game shop should have our games. That's right. And if they don't, again, I say they should have them. So tell them, hey, get these games in stock. Yeah, let them know.
Request them.
That's right.
Awesome. Thank you so much, John. We will definitely look forward to connecting with you at some conventions, and congratulations again on the successful Kickstarter. And we will be in touch, because I'm sure you've got great other stuff, it sounds like, coming down the pipe very soon.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being on the show. We will catch you next time.
Okay.
Bye.
See ya.
All right, so welcome back to the present. It was super great having John on the show. Really cool stuff that those guys are doing over there at Genius Games. First off, it blows my mind because I don't understand any of it. And second off, the fact that there are cool games that are also coming out of it is a win-win. But I think we're ready to go now with our Kickstarter connection.
Kickstarter connection!
So Kevin, why don't you start us off?
All right, the first game I want to talk about is Cosmic Run Regeneration. It's launching February 26th from Dr. Finn's Games. And this is actually a revised version of the game Cosmic Run, and that's why it's named Cosmic Run Regeneration. So it's not an expansion. It's actually the whole game. They just added some more stuff to it.
2.0.
Yeah, 2.0. It's a 1-4 player push-your-luck dice game, and you're trying to get your ships to these planets. And you can play this competitively or cooperatively, and you're trying to get these to the planets and discover them before the planets are destroyed from meteors. Ah. So we played it both ways, competitively and cooperatively, and it's fun both ways you play.
That's interesting. You don't usually hear about games that you can do either way.
Right. Some of the things that they've added to this revised version is a 6th planet, so there was only 5 planets before, and there's a 6th type of alien race. Some of the cards you can get are aliens for the dice. And the way the meteors are hitting the planets are card-based instead of dice-based. So, yeah, I think they really... It's not just, let's try and get a second printing of the game. They really changed some of the mechanics and added some cool stuff to it.
Yeah, it sounds like it made it more strategic. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's cool. That's real cool.
So, and the interesting thing about this campaign is the game that Melissa's about to talk about. And I'm going to throw it to her because Dr. Finn's is going to launch on the same campaign another game. Tell us about it, Melissa.
What? So the second game that's going to be part of this campaign is called Waters of Nereus. And it is
Nereus.
Yes, Nereus.
We had to find how to yeah, say that
I'm sure.
from Dr. Finn himself because wow, I was like, Nereus? Nereus?
Yes, so it's Nereus.
Thank you, Melissa.
Heard it from the source.
Nereus. Nereus. And it's 2-4 players, and it involves some area movement and simultaneous action selection.
Yeah.
So each player is in charge of a ship and has a crew, and each crew member basically has a different action. Mm-hmm. So on your turn, everyone flips over the action that they want to do that turn, and then in turn order, you perform that action. So if Kevin and I both choose the same thing, but I'm further ahead in turn order, I get to do that action first, and there are different choices for that action. So I'll probably take the better choice, mm-hmm. and then he'll have, maybe only be able to move one space instead of two spaces.
Okay.
And you're trying to move your ship through the waters to get treasure. And then you're using that treasure to get points and pay your crew members. And it's kind of an interesting little puzzle aspect to what you do with your treasure.
Because the gems and the treasures in this grid-based sea we go to, the gems are like, other players are taking these gems from off the board. So you're trying to move, get the right gems, trade in the right gems, get the points, get the gold.
Maybe 5 or 6 different colored gems, mm-hmm. and you need certain colors to do certain things. Yeah. So
I really like this. I think between the two games, I liked the thinkiness of Waters of Nereus, but I enjoyed the fun dice rolling of Cosmic Run Regeneration. Just if I want to have a light game that I'm just enjoying, not thinking too much. Even though there is strategy with the Cosmic Run, I think I liked the thinkiness of Waters of Nereus a little bit better.
It's a little bit more Euro-esque in the Waters of Nereus.
And don't forget, Beth Sobel did the art and illustrations for Waters of Nereus.
Oh, there it is.
Okay. Yes, I had to bring her name into it. But both games were fun. Waters of Nereus plays in about 45 minutes to an hour, mm-hmm. so not overly long.
I would say Cosmic Run's a little less, probably 30 mm-hmm. minutes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Cosmic Run Regeneration, sorry.
Yes.
And don't forget as well that we have videos, reviews of these, so if you want to go on our YouTube channel and check out what they look like.
Get the deets.
Go to that.
Yeah, so we enjoyed both of them. Both fun games. All right, Katie.
All right, so I am looking at Pocket Sub by Alley Cat Games. It's coming February 28th to Kickstarter. It's for 2-4 players. Excuse me.
4.
Yeah, 2-4 players. And we actually got to play this game. I played this with Melissa and Ryan, and I didn't really understand what I was doing at first. About halfway through the game, I started realizing game is... Yeah. Is about
subs.
Well, it is about subs.
And I think Katie actually won the game.
I did. I mistakenly won the game. I did. Because you're trying to.
To stay alive, basically.
You're trying to stay alive, but there's only so many spots on the board, and you have subs that you're trying to move around, but you have to drop a mine in spaces, like in one of the spaces that you've passed through, mm-hmm. and then nobody else can pass through that space. And so you're like trying to block. Well, you lose if you go through this. But you're trying to like kind of corner people mm-hmm. into spaces while trying to keep yourself from being cornered.
Yeah.
And like I said, I mistakenly won. I didn't realize what I was doing. I was just running around on the board. And then halfway through the game, I was like, wait a minute. I see what this game's about. And it was too late for me to do anything. But luckily, Ryan and Melissa had kind of duked it out and left me alone. But
we were talking earlier what this like felt like. Just the game, like how it felt. It felt like tic-tac-toe or Connect Four. We were trying to like make sure the other person isn't doing things and not blocking you.
Yes.
But helping yourself out at the same time.
But it's a little, I mean, it's a lot more complex than that.
Complex.
Especially when you add in the third and fourth players
right.
into the game. So you're trying to think several moves ahead. If I move here, then that forces them to move there.
Yeah.
So then that makes that person move somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then that blocks me. So maybe I should move a different direction.
Yeah, I would totally agree. Like,
yeah.
And I saw this one from a distance. This is a pretty small footprint game,
it
right?
is. It's very small.
It's
pocket
size.
And
the audience didn't also catch that.
And it's also a very quick game, 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You could play several rounds. I mean, the rules are simple, the play is easy, there's surprisingly a lot of thinking that you have to do to actually win the game, or you just have to be lucky like I was. So that's
cool.
Pocket Sub by Alley Cat Games, February 28th. Ryan.
Also scheduled for this week is Secret Unknown Stuff, Escape from Dulce. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Unknown
Dulce.
Stuff?
I don't know. Secret Unknown Stuff is slated to be a trilogy of sci-fi adventure games
what?
From Sentient Cow Games.
Sentient Cow?
Cows
that's
are thinking.
Their publisher.
I was going to move, but I feel like I needed an alien move. I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
what's an alien move?
I don't know. They're trying to make just a hilariously bizarre game. You take on the role of one of a few characters. You can be Amelia Earhart or a two-headed mutant cow.
Oh, wow.
With,
there you go.
With machine guns strapped to its back.
You could be that person.
I could be the moo guy.
Yeah.
And you fight fishmen, tentacle monsters, robot ninjas, lizard men. So apparently what you do is you have your little figurines and you go from room to room. And when you enter a room, you flip over an encounter card and you resolve whatever the trap or puzzle is there. And meanwhile, you're collecting zany items, as they say, incredible weapons, and you're leveling up your character, but trying to keep the alarm level down so you don't release this dreaded Man in Black, which I assume ends the game.
Ooh,
this
sounds
is
like Slender
Man. Relaunch of a game. They tried to launch it last year, but they brought it to Kickstarter too quickly, so it's had some time to polish up. It looks a little better than it did then, so definitely check it out. Escape from Dulce, Secret Unknown Stuff by Sentient Cow Games. Will.
So I'm looking at... Nope, not that one. I'm actually looking at... I'm looking at the version that's more like,
hello.
I'm Batman.
Christian Bale, welcome to the table.
Yeah, that's right. Batman Gotham City Chronicles is a new one that's coming out this week. Anybody know the date?
February 27th, I believe.
February 27th from designer Frédéric Henré from Monolith. And it looks amazing. Giant board, lots of sweet minifigures. There's, of course, the Batmobile minifig. The way the game works is like it's good guys versus one bad guy, and so the bad guy controls a bunch of henchmen, and he's got this cool, like, little, I don't really know how to describe it, but plastic board, it looks like, where he puts out the henchmen that he's going to use, and then he kind of, like, slides the cards back and forth in this tray, and that's how he kind of launches their activities or whatever. But a bunch of different superheroes are in the game you can choose from, and then you're going to be spending action points each turn to defuse bombs and fight bad guys and use your grappling hooks and all kinds of sweet stuff. The artwork for it looks pretty stinking fantastic. The board is very cool. Even like the card tray organizer, whatever that's called, looks handy and well organized.
Cool.
So I definitely would like to play this one someday.
Oh, wow,
I
think that does look really
this
neat.
Is like really hot online right now.
It is.
Everyone is talking about this.
And it'll be an investment if you actually want to go well, all in.
That's going
to
be a good definition because I have a feeling I don't know what the price is.
It's,
but it looks
it's already on the hotness list on BGG, and it's not even launched.
Did
yet.
I hear $300?
Is that what it is?
Wow.
I mean, for if you want, like, everything.
The everything version.
If you want the everything
The
version.
One that comes with giant dinosaur minis and all kinds of craziness. Yeah, it looks very, very cool.
Dinosaur minis.
Yeah. Can you, I don't know why, but there's dinosaurs. I probably should be better on my Batman trivia. I'm sure he's a normal bad guy.
Yeah, Ryan, tell us.
There's a dinosaur.
All I can
look at Rhino Man.
All I look at Ryan, Rhino. And I just see his Definitely t-shirt that he's wearing, and I just can't get... Bacon, and Bacon's this in my mind, because it says, come to the dark side, we have Bacon. And then I looked, and Darth Vader is there,
holding
bacon. Bacon in his hand. And
crispy bacon.
And the Batman would punch him in the face and steal it, because we all know Batman would be Darth Vader.
What?
Sarah, what gives you a look at that?
All right, I am looking at Dice Settlers, and this is from designer David Cirksey from NSKN Games.
Mm.
And this is a area control game that has a bag building, deck building. Yeah, it's like you have a it's like similar to Orléans.
Yeah, like Orléans.
Except for you'll be using dice, so it's got kind of a dice mechanic to it. And this one is coming out February 27th.
Cool. So the same designer, how'd you say his name?
David Cirksey.
Yes. So he actually has another game that he's designed called Knights of Fire. I think it's Battle for Budapest. We may have actually talked about this a while back. I thought it was coming to Kickstarter, but it's actually launching right now. And he's designed this game, and I think it might be like a war type game. So, well, Battle for Budapest. And there's some card and action management, some Euro stuff, but there's some like war game mechanics as well in the game. So anyway, I wanted to throw that out as well. But the game I want to talk about.
Wait, that wasn't it?
No.
It's a long lead up for a game that you weren't actually
I didn't
want
to
about.
Mention it since he has another two games.
Okay.
Think about it. This designer has two games.
Good job.
With two different companies.
Two different companies. Kind of cool.
Oh, wow.
Rock and roll.
The game I would like to talk about is Chronicles of Crime.
Ooh.
From Lucky Duck Games. This is launching February 27th, and it's for 1 to 4 players. Takes about an hour to an hour and a half per session. This game is really, really cool. We were able to play a prototype of this. I think all of us at least saw it. It mixes virtual reality and board gaming and like smashes them together. And Melissa wants to tell you a little bit more about like what the game is.
Well, it's a basically crime solving mystery game where some sort of crime has happened and you have to solve it by talking to witnesses and other people. You actually have an app. The app is integral to the game because that is where the story is. And you scan QR codes on different cards that come in the game. And
right, to talk to people or to look at evidence.
To see, is this evidence important? Does this person know anything about the glass vase? Or, does this person know
about the other person?
Yeah, the person.
Or even traveling to locations, you scan the location you want to go to, which takes time. But the really cool part.
Yeah, let's get to the good stuff.
Okay, the really cool part is the crime scenes.
Yes.
And the game comes with 3D glasses, VR.
Like a glasses mount.
VR
so
glasses.
You can plug your
phone. You put them onto your phone, and then you look at the crime scene, and you look up and down and sideways, and it's a 360 environment where you can see the dead person and the blood and all of the papers and
you're
everything.
You're immersed in that, like, crime
cool.
scene.
It is really neat.
And you only have, like, a little bit of time to look at it. Is it, like, 30 seconds
40
or a minute?
Seconds.
40 seconds. Yeah. So you put them on, and then you're trying to, like, learn as much as you can
and yell
at the crime scene. Yeah, and tell everybody else who's sitting at the table, I see a dead body, there's a cat, there's a cake, there's a la la la.
How many pieces of paper do you see? Can you see any names on that letter? You know, like,
so what color is that wallpaper?
So as the person who's looking is shouting things out, the other players are looking through these evidence cards to see if there's a card that matches what they're seeing. And then afterward, you can scan it to see if it actually is a piece of evidence and you learn a little bit about it.
So there's actually, the prototype that we played had two different scenarios. It was a tutorial scenario, which was really, it was helpful. It got a little pedantic a little bit for me because once I figured out how to play, I just wanted to move on.
But it really is walking you through the thing. Scan this, talk to this person.
Every time.
Do this. So.
And then it was even like, I think it felt like, okay, we think you've got enough information. You should go talk to the police chief. It felt like that. I don't think it was that.
Never.
But there's another scenario that was a beginning of a 4-chapter scenario, which was called The Power Behind. And it was a really cool because it used time more, used more, felt like more locations. It was more, felt more, a little bit more interactive.
Actual solving of something rather than solving. Just
I mean, you were solving something. The other one, but
yeah, it was a more full experience with the case. And we do, Kevin and I did a preview video for this, which is on YouTube right now.
If you like games like Time Stories, Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective, even like Mansions of Madness, those types
Mythos
of
tales, kind of
Mythos Tales would be another good one. If you like those types of games where you know that you're going to know the end eventually, you're gonna solve the puzzle. But you're okay with that, then you should check out Chronicles of Crime because it has that really cool mystery feel. You're trying to solve this mystery.
And then in addition to that, it's just gorgeous. Like the 3D environments are super cool looking. The cards are beautiful. I mean, the artwork in it, it's a really nice package.
Lucky Duck did a really good job.
They knocked it out.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they have a couple different,
scenarios
or even themes. Like it was, the one we did is London, and then there was like a film noir.
Noir theme.
Would those be like expansions, or that's going to come with the...
I think maybe, I don't remember exactly. I know that the main thing's coming. There might be another one that's going to be unlocked, but I think then they're going to add more expansions that maybe you can get as add-ons or something like that. And one more thing is Lucky Duck Games is one of our sponsors for our TantrumCon that we had just a few days ago.
I'm sure it was amazing.
I'm sure it was amazing. But we're really grateful for Lucky Duck and others, people like Bellwether Games and
CTG.
Smirk and Dagger.
Two of our local friendly game stores, Boardwalk and the Red Barn, jumped in as well.
Yeah.
The event happens. It hasn't happened yet in real life, but by the time you're listening to this, you will be able to go see pictures of our cool TantrumCon and all the people that showed up.
Yeah, we're hoping for like a couple hundred
wish
people.
You had been there.
That's right. You missed out. Well, cool. So I think next up on the docket is our interview with John Clare, the designer from Edge of Darkness. Let's welcome John to the house.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Awesome. We're pretty excited. Looks like you've got some cool stuff coming down the pipe. Take just a couple seconds and tell us about some of your previous games, because I think they're a perfect lead-in to what you've got going on right now with Kickstarter.
Yeah, so I'm best known for Mystic Veil, which was a game that came out in 2016 from Alderac Entertainment Group and introduced the card crafting system, which is an invention of mine that basically uses transparent cards combined with card sleeves so that you're actually modifying the cards while playing the game.
Yeah, very cool. We enjoyed it a lot. Keep going.
Awesome. And then I did Custom Heroes last year, which also used the same system, but it was otherwise an entirely different game. And then a little known game I've done, I did like a children's party game way back when, but,
Very cool. Not sleeves.
That one is not sleeves. It's a real time chaotic Twitch fast hands game, but yeah.
Okay, perfect. So you've got a game right now. Now this podcast episode will launch next Monday into the future. So will you guys already be live with it? When do you go live? And then go ahead and just tell us about it.
So it goes live on the 20th, which is, tomorrow as of us recording this.
Perfect.
So hopefully by Monday we will have we'll be rolling along and doing well, let's hope. Awesome. So what is launching on Tuesday tomorrow? Edge of Darkness, which is another card crafting game. It was actually the original card crafting game that I designed.
Okay.
So when I had the idea for card crafting, I tried a number of designs. The first few games I made weren't great, but there was the iterative process of getting to a good game. And the first good game that I really liked that I got to was Edge of Darkness, which is actually, it's sort of a medium weight Euro feel to it. There's a lot of resource management. There's some worker, it's sort of pseudo worker placement. It's not classic, just I place a guy and do the action, but there's a sort of a worker placement aspect to it, but it's all core driven by the card crafting system. Similar
to Mystic Veil. And I think I saw that there's some deck building in it as well.
Yeah, so everyone is actually group deck building one central deck.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we're all drawing from and discarding to the same deck, but we own different cards in the deck. So I could draw a handful of cards, and one of them could be yours, right? And I can use your card, and it benefits me. And if you make your card better, then it's also better for me if I draw it. However, if I want to use your card, I have to pay you money to use it.
Gotcha.
So you want to make great cards, because not only will you get to use them, but other people will draw them and then pay you to use them. Yeah.
Cool. So that was the original idea. Do you feel like Mystic Veil was kind of just an iteration, or was that like, this is what I can pitch to a publisher, or what was that process like?
So I actually pitched Edge of Darkness first. I sold Edge of Darkness to AEG. Nearly every publisher I showed it to was interested.
Interesting.
And then their plan was always to release Edge of Darkness first. And then I went back to the design table. They actually said it would be really cool if we could follow up Edge of Darkness with a lighter, more gateway-style card crafting game. And I was really excited that they were excited about doing card crafting in more games, right? So I said, okay, let me see what I can come up with. And Mystic Veil sort of fell together really quickly. And the design got to a place that I was really happy with. It wasn't balanced yet, and that was a few more months of work. But it got to a place that it felt like it was, okay, actually, this is a really good game. A lot earlier in the process than Edge. And then when I showed it to AEG, they decided that they would actually do that one first, which meant Edge of Darkness got a little bit more delayed. But that was actually probably a good thing in the end, because I made some changes to some tweaks and refinements to Edge of Darkness that made it a better game.
Was that based on some feedback from Mystic Veil, or was that just experience, or what brought about those changes?
The main reason for it probably was because I put the game on the shelf for about 10 months while I worked on Mystic Veil. And then when I went back to it, I came back to it sort of with fresher eyes, where, you know, some of the problems that were in the game were easier to see coming back to it as opposed to just playing it constantly like I was before.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Tell us a little bit about the art in the game. Who did the art? What's the storyline kind of for behind the Edge of Darkness?
Elena Lemmer did all of the location art.
Okay.
She's a fantastic landscape and cityscape artist, and she loves doing that kind of art. So she did all of the location art for it, and the box cover and the board art, and it has this beautiful sort of ominous dark
surreal
feel to it.
Yeah,
it's great. And then all the cards are actually all double-sided. There's a good side on the front and a bad side on the back. And whenever you upgrade a card, you're actually making the good side better for the players, but you're also making the back side a more dangerous threat that people will have to deal with. And all of the card art was done by a variety of artists. But AEG has been doing CCGs for a really long time, and they have a lot of great artists that they could, you know, tap to try to get a sort of a consistent feel with that art as well.
Cool. Tell us a little bit about the campaign. Is there stretch goals in it? Is this kind of one of those get the whole premium package? What's the base game going to cost us?
So what AEG has told me, and I believe this will be the numbers tomorrow, is there's a base pledge of $60 for the base game, which doesn't come with stretch goals, and it doesn't have some of the more deluxe components. And then there's a $100 pledge, which will get stretch goals, presuming we hit them, and then it has more deluxe stuff. It comes with additional content. So the game is modular, actually. Every game you play with 10 modules, and the deluxe game comes with a bunch more modules, essentially. And it'll have more deluxified components and stuff. And they have a list of stretch goals that they're planning that hopefully we'll hit. And if we do hit a bunch of them, it's going to be a pretty awesome package.
Cool. That's very cool. So I have a super nerdy question for you. Obviously, there are a lot of gamers out there who enjoy sleeving their cards. How do they handle this type of game where you're sleeving and unsleeving and sleeving and unsleeving over and over and over? Does that just blow their minds? Do you get comments on that?
So, if the people who really need all of their cards sleeved while playing actually it's almost worse for them, a game like Mystic Veil, because the pieces you add to your sleeves, those can't be sleeved until you sleeve them, because one of the mechanics of the game is sleeving them, right? So for people who obsessively need to sleeve all their games, it's actually maybe a problem. I ironically never sleeve any of my games.
I wondered if it's not related, okay. That's too funny. Well, cool. So it's going live. Now, do you have any other secret information about future projects that you want to share? Or is this like, you know, what can we get out of you?
Yeah, so my next game that's going to be actually on sale in retail, because Edge will be eventually, but, you know, they're still development and they're going to have it shipped to backers first. Sure. But my next game that will actually be in retail is a game called Space Base, which will be hitting retail probably early April. And that's it was inspired by Machi Koro, and it has a similar, like, I roll dice and then on my turn and everybody can get stuff.
Okay.
But it gives players a lot more control over the dice. There's a lot more dice manipulation and more synergies in the engine you're building. So rather than just buying a card and now it's another card you have, there's a lot of, like, since I have these cards, I really want that card because it works well with them. So there's a lot of synergies you're trying to build in the cards you buy.
Okay.
And then you also have a lot more control over dice manipulation and stuff. So it's like that same mechanic from Settlers of Catan where you roll dice and everybody can get stuff.
Cool.
But in a more a little bit more strategically controlled.
Better choices
game.
And yeah, okay. That's
all right.
Cool.
And what publisher is that one going to be from?
Also AEG.
Also AEG. Cool.
Yeah. Very good. I like working with them. They seem to like working with me. So.
Yeah, it seems like a good synergy there. I like that.
Yeah.
Tell us where we can find your stuff, Facebook and all that good stuff, where we can get more information on you and our audience can check out Edge of Darkness.
So Edge will go live, and when you guys put this podcast up, it probably will already be live, so you can find that on Kickstarter. That would just search Edge of Darkness Kickstarter. You can follow me on Twitter. It's just John D. Clare. Is my handle on Twitter, and I'll be tweeting about the game related stuff, and then you can always track my games on BGG as well.
Cool, man. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. I know you've got a fun evening going on right now. Go ahead and tell us 10 seconds about that. What else you got going on tonight?
There's a live play of the game going on that I stepped out of briefly. I'm not playing. I am observing and helping them with any rules questions.
Get all the rules
have.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. There's a live stream of the game going on right now, though. So
awesome. Well, cool. Thank you so much
for that.
Yeah. Thank you for taking a couple of minutes to steal away and join us. We had a great time having you on the show. We're really looking forward to Edge of Darkness, and best of luck with your campaign. Hope that goes really well for you.
Thanks a lot, guys. It was good talking to you.
All right. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Super great having John on the show with us and hearing about this very popular game coming out.
So. Yeah, Edge of Darkness sounds really cool.
Yeah, so what else do we need to talk about? Anything we need to cover?
Yeah, so one thing, in a few weeks, Melissa and I will be traveling up to Baltimore, Maryland, and we'll be going to Unpub 8.
Very nice. Yeah. Cool.
So we thought, since we talk a lot about Kickstarters, Unpub would
probably be a good
thing to go to.
Cool.
We know some of the people that are involved with this. Daryl Louder, shout out to him.
Yeah.
Great guy. I'm sure Chris from Dice Hate Me is involved in some way, too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But this is March 22nd through the 25th,
cool.
So end of March. So I just want to let you guys know that we'll be there. If you'll be there, let us know, and we'd love to meet up with you there for Unpub 8. There's a special guest there, Matt Leacock. You might know him from Pandemic fame.
Yeah, very cool.
So.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with Unpub, it's where designers can show off their games, their unpublished games, and it's open to the public, and people can just come in and playtest. They do have some levels where you can be a VIP playtester, and you can pay a little bit of money and get a little extra access, but most of the event is just open to the public.
Yeah.
You can come in and play lots of games and give feedback to designers so they can improve their games before they either try to pitch it to publishers or take it to Kickstarter or
So Melissa
ways.
And I will be media representatives of a company called...
Why would we be going to this?
Tantrum House?
Totally us.
Oh, yes. That sounds like a cool company.
Yeah.
They sound like they make great media, so I don't know. Well, cool. Hope you guys have a blast when you do. I'm sure we'll be talking about that a little bit more as we get closer to it. But one last shout out to go visit our Kickstarter.
Yes, one last shout out.
And then after that, we'll see you guys next time. So, woohoo!
Bye!
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!